Pay program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
And it's Casual Friday, which means I am joined by the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo. How are you, Elisa?
I'm good. How are you?
No, you're better than good, Elisa. Elisa is doing amazing on her diet and exercise regimen, getting ready for her first bikini competition.
Yes.
And
tomorrow will be 4 weeks into it.
I know. And the changes in your body are amazing in just 4 weeks. I think most people give up after a week or two. They think, oh, I'm not losing enough fast enough.
It's a slow process. Yeah. If you look at the scale, like we talked about last week,
right?
It's a slow process, but the changes are coming.
Yes, they look great. Yes, very, very good. Congratulations. Anyway, we're going to be talking about a lot of nutritional idiocy. The truth is, we need not go any further than watching any of the Good Morning shows to find the nutritional idiocy around us. Isn't that true?
That's true. I was doing some cardio this morning. My usual routine.
Right.
And I was watching the Today Show, and they were talking about just, they had this guy on there. His name was Donnie Deutsch.
Donnie Deutsch, and he apparently is like their guru about advertising and branding and design and all that sort of
and
stuff.
And men's issues.
Yeah,
and
yeah. He speaks for all men. And so they had him on doing what?
He was talking about Taco Bell. And how Taco Bell is now coming out with a taco in a Dorito shell.
Right. So instead of a traditional corn hard a tortilla shell,
mm-hmm.
They're going to have a Dorito taco shell, which means it'll have the extra Dorito seasoning. You'll probably be able to get it in their creamy ranch flavor or their this, that, and the other flavor. And so they're teaming up with...
with Doritos. It's actually, it looked like it was going to come in a Dorito package. I don't know if that's true or not, but but their slogan was going to be Live Moss.
Live Moss. And interestingly enough, when Donnie Deutsch did this shameless plug for Doritos this morning and for Taco Bell this morning, the young lady who was his co-host in this, she was actually the host, he was the guest, she kind of stopped for a second and said, this really isn't healthy, this is just going to contribute to obesity. And I almost feel like she did that because everyone in the audience was thinking that, so by not saying it they would look really derelict. Mm-hmm. and he just spoke up and said, look, who cares? Taco Bell is all about enjoyment, not about health. Sometimes it's just about enjoying yourself.
Which is crazy.
Well, I think the idea that the only way you can enjoy yourself is to crap on your body is, that was something that we did when we were kids in high school.
Well, my response was, who eats a Taco Bell
anyway?
Anyway,
yeah, right.
But Live Moss is their motto.
Yeah.
And that's live more.
Well, yeah, but maybe they don't mean, okay, maybe Live Moss in their eyes doesn't mean live like a fuller life or live a longer life. Maybe it means live moss, like be bigger, take up more space on the planet. Maybe they mean you need to be more. You're not enough. You're too skinny. You need to be more. Maybe that's what they mean.
I don't know, but Yum Brands is here. They're located here in Kentucky, in Louisville.
Yeah.
And, you see a lot about them in the news, and they're not doing very well. They're doing well in China.
Yeah, and abroad.
Oddly enough, abroad.
Yeah.
But here in the United States, they're not doing very well, which tells me that people aren't spending money there.
Mr. X, mm-hmm. who communicates with me all the time, and he and his wife are not only devoted listeners, but they have their family becoming superhumans as well. His mom, her mom started eating paleo and feels great. He just interestingly emailed me this morning about something else and threw in there, and I have to read this to you because it's really interesting that we're talking about this right now. He said that he was talking to the maintenance man in his building, and here, I'm sorry here. And he said, He said, it's funny. I just talked to the maintenance man guy, the maintenance guy in my complex about my industry. He's a 31-year-old guy with high triglycerides and high cholesterol and poor LDL to HDL ratio. The doctors wanted to put him on statins. He had heard enough about statins to be wary of them.
Good.
He said the guy cut bread out of his diet, started eating more meat and vegetables and complex carbs, and cut his triglycerides in half in 1 month. He just started exercising more. I'll bet if he's just started exercising more, he's saying, I'll bet it'll be fine. And I emailed him back, and I said, this is so refreshing because it means that the message is getting out there. People are starting to realize that the emperor has no clothes. These drugs aren't saving people. They're making them sicker. And the right way to fix your body is to fix your body.
Then why aren't the doctors getting the message?
No. The doctors will never get the message because you have to remember, this is a team thing. It's us and them. And them means the FDA, the doctors, the pharmaceutical industry, the AMA. That's them. Their job is to get us to believe that using them is the only way to stay healthy and alive. We have to stick with our group and be our team.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to win. And we can win. And we're going to win. Because, you see, the reason I'm going a long way around saying this is because Yum isn't doing good here. Fewer and fewer people are really turning to fast food in the consistency that they did before. I mean, you had people back in the day that ate McDonald's every day.
Uh-huh.
Now it's like once in a blue moon they'll have a McDonald's because they know it's no good for them.
Right.
And see,
but there are still people out there that think that Subway is healthy.
Yes, you're right. But
because of the way they market themselves.
Right.
Speaking of marketing.
Yes, absolutely. Because I saw a guy eating Subway on the plane the other day. When I looked at the amount of bread and the tiny little bit of processed meat in the center of it, I thought, this is idiotic. And you know what he did? He ate half the sandwich and wrapped the other half up. And literally, 15 minutes later, he went back and ate the other half of the sandwich because I'm sure that his glucose rush occurred. And dropped so quickly because he's probably hyperinsulinemic already and he needed to eat the other half of the sandwich right away. But here's the thing I just thought of, and this just dawned on me. When you go to the fast food industry and say, this food is not good, or when you do what that guy did in Supersize Me, right? What did the fast food industry come back and say? They said, well, you're not supposed to eat this every meal, every day. If you eat it as one of your meals here and there, it's healthy. That's what they come back and say. Well, guess what? That statement is now biting them in their asses because people are only eating it once in a while and their profits are plummeting.
Well, that's why McDonald's went to having oatmeal and Starbucks went to having oatmeal. But oddly enough, McDonald's oatmeal has more sugar in it than a Snickers bar.
Right.
Go figure.
Right, because they have to sugarize anything because let's face it. When anybody who goes to McDonald's to buy oatmeal is going to McDonald's, and the oatmeal is like, oh, I guess I can make a good choice, but they still want that high sugar, crappy meat, you know, soft bun. They still want that crap food.
You know, oddly enough, since I've been dieting, I was telling you the other day, I ate a piece of celery and it tasted so good. It tasted sweet to me.
Right.
And I had a half of a grapefruit this morning. That's my carb for the day.
Right.
Half of the grapefruit.
Right.
And it tasted so, almost like candy, it tasted so sugary to me. It's like my taste buds are changing.
And they are. That's what happens. It was one of the things that early on happened to me when I started this journey. My palate changed. I was able to eat just plain oatmeal and taste it and enjoy the flavor. It would explode. And that, and it's like, as you stop assaulting your body with these artificial flavors and these supercharged chemicals that are designed to actually addict you to these foods, and your taste buds can come out of the noise for a while, it's like all of a sudden simple things.
Red pepper.
Oh,
it tasted so good. I mean, I cut up some red peppers the other day. In like those little small cherry tomatoes, they all just taste so good now.
Yeah, and that's the change in the palate. And most people who wait around long enough and stop eating crap food, they see that. We have to take a break, okay? Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got lots of stories about nutritional idiocy. We have lots of stories about raw milk. We have lots of stories to talk to you about. You're listening to Casual Friday on Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the
I have
first
never endorsed thousands of testosterone.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbells.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. That's right. And I'm in the studio with Elisa Profumo because it's Casual Friday.
You sound so serious.
I am serious. This is serious business, saving lives. I'm serious.
Well, then why were you not at the Heart Attack Grill? And why did you not save the guy eating the triple bypass burger?
Yeah, because now he needs a triple bypass, right? You know what the
funny
thing?
It's not funny. I'm laughing, but
no,
it's,
I know.
It's, that's real.
But you know what the worst part of all that is? The Heart Attack Grill will actually grow its customers now from that publicity.
I know.
To tell the story, I actually, there's a Heart Attack Grill in Phoenix that I've seen. I've never gone in and eaten, but I walked by it, I looked in, and I saw it.
This was at the Las Vegas Heart Attack Grill, and he was in his 40s, and he was midway through eating a 6,000 calorie triple bypass burger when he started experiencing chest pains.
Now, does it tell you what the triple bypass burger contains?
Yes, it does. It contains 3 slabs of meat, 12 rashers of bacon, cheese, red onion, sliced tomato, and the Heart Attack Grill's own unique special sauce. And that is accompanied by flatliner fries, which are cooked in pure lard.
Okay, now it's important to understand, anybody can get a hamburger with 3 patties. Each of these patties is 1 pound of beef.
You're kidding.
So this is 3 pounds of beef. The burger, when it's assembled on the bun, actually stands about 12 inches tall, between 10 and 12 inches tall. That's amazing.
That is amazing. Well, this restaurant chain was founded in 2005, and their catchphrase is, taste worth dying for.
Yeah, right. Obviously. So this guy goes in, he eats the burger, he has a massive heart attack, basically.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows what happened to him at this point?
I haven't heard anything, because this is an old story. I mean, it's from about a week and a half ago.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't heard any news of whether or not the guy survived or what happened.
Well, I'm sure that you're not going to. I'm sure that the heart attack grill, if they have any common sense at all, they're going to suppress that side of the story.
Oddly enough, it's run by a former nutritionist. His name is John Basso, B-A-S-S-O, and he used to run a Jenny Craig weight loss diet center.
That's funny. He got so frustrated, he went crazy. He was like, I'm tired of eating like this. This stuff tastes like crap. I'm going to eat really crappy food from now on.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, right, exactly. It's so apropos. That, like, when you're on Jenny Craig or any of those stupid diets, you're starving yourself constantly. You always feel like you want something more.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat paleo, you don't feel like that because you're eating meat already.
Well, and just like my new eating plan, I have to eat so much that it's just hard to get it all in a day.
Right, right, right.
And who wants to starve themselves?
Interesting, too. They have, the waitresses, the wait staff are all women. They dress in these scantily clad nurses' outfits.
Mm-hmm.
They're black with like red trim. With blue trim.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on what time of day it is.
And have you been there?
Yeah, I looked in. I'm telling you, I stuck my head in there and I looked in. I looked at the menu. That's where I saw we proudly fry our French fries in lard. I was like, oh, my God, this place really is going to kill people. I mean, don't get me wrong. Lard is good. That's not the issue. The issue is I looked in the place, everybody in that place was like borderline morbidly obese. Everybody that was sitting there eating was really, really overweight.
That's awful.
And didn't you say that they got ridiculed one time because they had a sign up that said free meal to obese people or something
Like that? Well, that was their campaign. They had an obese spokesperson, and that what they were doing was if someone weighed a certain amount, they got free food.
Now, I wonder if that American Fat Association went after them. Who's that company, the Association for the
Fat People?
The Acceptance of Fat People or something, the AAFP or something like that. I wonder if they went after them or they embraced them and said, hey, we'd like some free burgers too.
I don't know.
That is so funny. The Association
crazy.
For the Acceptance of Fat People. I'm going to have the Association for the Acceptance of People with the New York Accents. That's the one I'm going to come out. Because you need to accept us. Stop making fun of us because we say car.
Coffee.
Give me a cup of coffee.
Okay, so do you take vitamin E?
I do.
And what do you take?
I take a full-spectrum vitamin E that has all four tocopherols and all four tocotrienols from a natural source. And I buy that at Vitacost.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, I just asked that question because, in my studies, I read that one of the symptoms of a vitamin E deficiency is muscle weakness.
Uh-huh.
It can be muscle weakness.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
And did you know that selenium plays a role in the vitamin E metabolism?
Isn't that funny? Selenium plays a role in a variety of things. I didn't know about vitamin E at all.
The symptoms disappear in animals by the addition of selenium in
their
diet.
With their vitamin E.
Yeah,
in
their diet.
So selenium is like a
cofactor. It's a
cofactor.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I just found that interesting because we were talking about selenium in the last show, and it just seems like selenium plays a role in so much.
And it's very ignored. And, it's so simple to get. One Brazil nut a day, a large Brazil nut,
mm-hmm.
the kind that's like an inch long,
mm-hmm.
looks like a pinky finger, that has about 600 to 800 micrograms of selenium in each one. And so you just need to eat a Brazil nut, five times a week. Eat one Brazil nut five times a week, and you're getting your more than the RDA of selenium.
I need to start doing that.
Me too. You know what the funny thing is? I ate Brazil nuts for years, and now I hate the flavor of them.
Well, they get rancid, too.
Yes, they
do. You
have
to be careful, because if they're sitting around for too long in your pantry, they can become rancid.
If you open the bag up and smell them, and they smell like a can of latex paint, throw them away. You know that smell of paint when you open up a can of paint, that smell?
Mm-hmm.
If they smell like that, throw them away because they're bad. And just keep them in the fridge. That's where you have to keep them, in the fridge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what else is going on? The heart attack grill we covered. Do we want to talk about the doctors that are out there that seem to know everything but know nothing at the same time?
Sure.
Now, this is something that you're dealing with on your own, right?
Well, I had some blood work done this week, and one of the things that struck me was I had my vitamin D levels tested, and the doctor told me that they were fine, but they weren't fine.
Okay, so let's really back up a little bit. You had your vitamin D tested a year ago at your physical.
Uh-huh, and they with were, a different were, doctor.
With a different doctor. And they were below what is considered the low side of the threshold.
Yes.
Which I think the low side of the threshold is 40 or 45, I want to say nanograms. I'm not sure if it's nanograms or picograms a liter. I think it may not be. But anyway.
It was at 35. And that was a year ago. And I've been supplementing.
Right.
I was supplementing at that time.
Right.
And so he told me I needed to
take more.
So a different doctor, because it was just a different doctor, she tested my vitamin D levels, and they were now at 47.
Right.
And she said that was fine.
That was fine.
And what do you think?
I don't think that's fine. I think that there's enough evidence out there that shows that higher vitamin D levels are better. Now, there's a point of diminishing returns.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the sweet spot seems to be 70 to 80. I think once you start getting to 100, you can actually have too much. But what we know about vitamin D now is you got to take it with vitamin A and K2. Otherwise, the side effects of vitamin D occur.
Well, her big thing was when I told her I was supplementing with a couple thousand IUs a day, she goes, "Well, you know that's a fat-soluble vitamin." I'm like, "Yes, I know that." And she says, "Well, I'm afraid that you might have too much."
How could you have too much if she just tested you and you're only 47?
That was prior to the test results.
Yeah, right.
And but then when she got the test results, she goes, "You're fine. You're good right there." I like to see levels of, around 40.
Around 40. Mm-hmm. The lower side of healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Why is that?
Because she really doesn't know what she's talking about. And doctors, you have to remember there's another issue here, and you can't blame doctors for this one, but doctors are like accountants now. It's better to tell your client not to do something than to tell them to do something. Because if you tell them not to do something, there's no liability. But if you tell them to do something and it doesn't work, there's all liability. So doctors rather say to you, "That's fine," then say, "You should supplement with more," and then you supplement with more, and then something happens to you, and you say, "You told me to supplement with more, and now look what happened to me," and then they get sued.
Well, I asked her about vitamin A, and she said to me, "I can't answer that question because I don't know enough about vitamin A."
And that's a shame, because in my humble opinion, and I'm working on something right now, in my humble opinion, vitamin A is one of the cornerstones of reversing damage, reversing disease, and staving off disease and staying young. I really mean it. I mean, think about this for a second. We have stem cells in our body.
Right.
Nature didn't put them there because they knew that someday a surgeon at UC Medical, Davis, will be able to take them out, grow them, and put them back in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Nature put them there because nature knew you'd need some spare parts at some point in time.
Right.
Okay? And what differentiates stem cells? Any scientist that's working with stem cells in scientific settings, they use retinoic acid, vitamin A, to differentiate them. And the problem with the stem cells in your body is they don't know what to become to repair things.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the cornerstones of your body using the spare parts that nature gave it is vitamin A. Isn't that interesting that the medical community doesn't pay attention to vitamin A? In fact, they tell you to take beta carotene, which has been shown not to convert to vitamin A readily, mm-hmm. and doesn't have the same effects as retinoic acid.
Well, don't they say to take beta carotene because it won't?
Yes.
You can't build it up in your body, but you can the vitamin A.
Right. And
right?
You want to build up the vitamin A in your body. You want to. The nature made it fat soluble and storable for a reason, because just in case you don't have it when you need it, they got someplace to go for it.
Uh-huh.
But the key is to take A and D in tandem with some K2.
Right.
But that's a whole different issue. But anyway, interesting she doesn't know anything about vitamin A.
I thought that was very interesting. I did have a question for you, because during our last show, we were talking about frequency of urination for
yes.
when you're drinking water.
Yes.
How's that working for you?
Well, when I was in Phoenix, I was drinking a lot of water.
Uh-huh.
And I was really going a lot. I was going about every hour to an hour and a half.
And did you feel like different? Did you feel well hydrated?
I felt better.
Good.
I felt so good. I really did. And then I knew that then a couple days later, I got off of it because kind of things got in the way and I wasn't drinking. I like to drink my water in between meals, not during meals. because if you drink it during meals, it just slows down the digestion of the food. I don't want to dilute the acid in my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to do it in between meals. So I have these windows of time where I can actually drink like a quarter of a gallon of water real fast.
Right.
So, and yeah, I definitely felt better. But isn't it interesting that in Europe, they're not allowed to say that water hydrates, huh?
What? Wonder why.
Gee, because you need Gatorade to hydrate? I don't know.
Yeah, they're not allowing, in the European Union, they're not allowed to put on water bottled water, that it's
hydrating. Right.
It prevents dehydration.
Now, first of all, if you need someone to tell you that water can prevent becoming dehydrated, then chances are you've been dehydrated too long and your brain has shrunken to the size of a plum. Okay? Now, if you haven't reached that point yet and you still need to be convinced that water will hydrate you, just drink a lot of it and find out and weigh yourself. And you'll find out that you've put on 3, 4, 5 pounds if you've been dehydrated really fast. So...
It says a meeting of 21 scientists in Parma, Italy, which I would love to go to Parma, Parmesan cheese.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They concluded that reduced water content in the body was a symptom of dehydration and not something that drinking water can subsequently control.
Well, okay, now, let's speak to that for a second.
Okay.
There is some truth in what they're saying, because without the proper electrolyte balances in the body,
mm-hmm.
the body doesn't have the ability to pull the water into the right places. So, for instance, potassium pulls water into muscle cells, and sodium pulls water into underneath the skin, and magnesium and calcium play a role with water, with osmotic properties of water, so that it can move from place to place and cell to cell. So there is some validity to that, but there is so, you know, carbohydrate consumption contributes to water retention as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're very, very depleted, you're on a ketogenic diet, you're not going to hold as much water. But in my opinion, even more the reason that you have to drink more water.
Right.
Because if your body's not holding on to it, you got to keep – it's like if you have a bucket with a hole in the bottom of it, you better fill it up a lot if you want it to stay. If there's a goldfish in there, you don't want the goldfish to die, you better keep putting a lot of water in.
Right.
Now, if there's no hole in the bottom, you probably can get away with watering it less frequently. So these guys have it backwards. If anything, people should be drinking more water if they have issues with electrolytes. And they're pointing to electrolytes as being the thing that retains water in the body.
But I have an issue with that because Gatorade has crap in it, you know, like high fructose corn syrup and artificial coloring.
Who do you think beefed about this claim that water prevents dehydration? Well, it wasn't the medical community. Doctors didn't say, hey, that's a lie. Doctors tell people to drink more water. There had to be somebody with some financial interest at stake. Mm-hmm. It has to be the companies that make the Gatorades and the Powerades and the vitamin waters and the drink it up waters and all the things that they have, you know, high fructose corn syrup and a little bit of potassium and a little sodium and a little this. And they're saying, hey, people are going to realize that they just need to drink water and get their minerals from elsewhere. We want them to drink our drinks. They can't say that. It's the same thing with diamond walnuts and cornflakes.
I mean,
that's what this is.
Exactly. Well, it says the Department for Health disputed the wisdom of the law and said that, of course, water hydrates. While we support the EU in preventing false claims about products, we need to exercise common sense as far as possible.
Bingo. And ergo my statement about having a brain the size of a plum. If you don't have the common sense to know that it doesn't have to say that it prevents dehydration, and some 19 brilliant scientists get together and say you can't say that. I mean, they're idiots.
They just wanted to go to Parma, Italy.
That's all it was. They wanted to have the Parmesan cheese.
How come Gatorade can say it but water can't? That's what.
Because there's a lot more money made in Gatorade than there is in bottled water. And Gatorade can hire lobbyists, and lobbyists go up there and do. I mean, you know, Jack Abramoff said it. It's blatant. You know, we want you to vote this way on this issue to protect our client. Our client is one of the people that pays us so that we can pay you in campaign fees or whatever it is, lending you the airplane and all that sort of stuff. It always comes down to money. Somebody's interest was at stake. So they forced the water industry not to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And scientifically, it's a shame. The scientists that used splitting hair science to do something like that should be ashamed of themselves.
Yes, they should.
Ashamed of themselves. We have to take a commercial break. Otherwise, I will be ashamed of myself. When we come back, we're going to pick it up. We've got lots more to talk about. You're listening to Casual Friday on Superhuman Radio. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER. Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal pack. Stage 1 releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it, and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage 2 is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
You're too young to remember music like this.
I don't remember this.
When I used to watch Rowan and Martin's Laughing.
Come on.
And Goldie, Goldie Hawn would stick her head out of the little wall and
she's so cute. Her daughter looks just like her.
Yeah.
Kate Hudson. Okay, so did you go out and buy some eggnog this week?
No. I got it. Jay King had a cow that gave birth, and he always saves a gallon of first-day colostrum for me. Oh. It does look like eggnog, doesn't it?
I hope you're going to leave it in the studio.
No, I'm taking it home. Not only am I going to take it home, but I'm going to find a way to get you to taste it.
Oh, no, you're not. Okay. That's not in my eating plan.
Okay. You got me there.
My coach says I'm not allowed.
There you go. That's fine. Okay.
So what is all the stuff about the pasteurized milk and the raw milk in the news right now?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we had Peter Kennedy from the Farm and Consumer Legal Defense Fund on the show about this recently. Uh-huh. There's a farmer in Pennsylvania. Isn't that funny? I'm going to forget his name.
Dan Allgaier.
Allgaier. Thank you. Thank you. Farmer Allgaier.
Uh-huh. And he's Amish.
He's Amish. He is. But that doesn't, you know what? That doesn't mean anything. These Amish guys, these Mennonite guys, they're moneymakers. They know how to do it, man. I'm, our farmer, when I went to see him the other day to pick up milk and the colostrum,
mm-hmm.
He goes, hey, we've got real maple syrup now. I says, are you making that yourself, Jay? He goes, yep. I says, Jay, when do you sleep? It's like now they're making sorghum, which, by the way, is like a sugarcane crop.
Right.
They've got maple trees. They're now making real maple syrup. He sells praying mantis pods when they have them. He's got raw milk. He's got chicken eggs. He's got beef.
Duck eggs.
He's got duck eggs.
Beef jerky.
Duck eggs. They're richer. when I asked his son, Myron, I says, what's the difference between a regular egg and a duck egg, Myron? He goes, they're richer. and it's like, oh, my God, this guy's got like the king industries here.
Well, he sleeps for four hours. Then he gets up and works. And then he goes back to sleep for 4 hours.
Yes, we will
we'll
get to that
in a second.
We'll
talk about that in a little while.
You know, so Dan Allgaier.
Mm-hmm.
What he really was making a mistake. You know what? I am an all pro raw milk guy. You know that, okay?
Right.
Okay, but he did do some things, in my opinion, that were really not smart.
We crossed the state line, right?
He crossed the state line, delivering raw milk into a state where it was illegal to have raw milk,
and he didn't label it raw milk.
Well, and he purposely didn't label the bottles at all, which makes any authority suspicious. Like, if you, okay, so even if you say, "Look, I thought there was no problem," then they'd say, "Well, if you thought there was no problem, why doesn't it say milk on it?"
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you hiding?
Right.
But you can't go across state lines. Like, for instance, California is a state where medical marijuana is legal. Get a prescription to use marijuana in California. You drive across any one of the bordering states adjacent to California, well, almost any of them. I think Colorado now has just passed the medical marijuana. But you drive any of them into any of them that don't have the medical marijuana passed, and you get pulled over by a cop, and you got a half a pound of pot on you, a half ounce of pot on you, whatever, a couple joints, and you say, "Well, I have a prescription." That prescription means nothing in that state. He's going to arrest you.
Right.
Well, the same is true of raw milk. Dan Allgaier resides in a state where raw milk is legal to sell, and he crossed the line into a state that doesn't have that same, possibility. Thank you. I'm getting all tied up here. And he took his chances. And then he didn't label the bottle, which made him look even more like a criminal. So you know what? So he can't do it anymore. That's the bottom line. He can't go across state lines anymore. But this may change the ability for people who live in other states and them going and getting their milk and bringing it back, which was legal.
It was legal.
It was legal.
But
yeah.
Now the FDA may change that.
And see,
now.
And this is why it's like those farmers out there who are supplying raw milk, stop driving across state lines. If your members aren't willing to come and get the milk, we used to always do this. We rotated. One, if you have eight families in a cow share program, once every 8 weeks, somebody drives. That's it. It's so simple. Why are you doing this and making it worse for those of us who want to keep raw milk available?
There is the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. There's an action alert on their website where you can go in support of raw milk. And it does say on here, although the FDA's case was against the farmer selling the milk, the court noted that the FDA's regulation could plausibly be applied to even to consumers who cross state lines to obtain raw milk or who traveled between states before consuming it or sharing it with friends or family. So what you said is exactly right.
Yeah,
I mean,
dangerous.
Other people are going to suffer the consequences now because of what this Dan guy did.
Yeah, and it's sad. And you know what? Again, I am all for raw milk, as the gallon of colostrum and the gallon of milk, say, in my little refrigerator here in the studio. But these kind of things have to stop, in my opinion. And okay, now another thing. So on the heels of that,
right,
we get an article with conflicting information, right? There's an article that was actually released by the CDC and then one that was published by Mike over at Health Ranger.
Natural News.
Yeah, Natural News.
His says, pasteurized milk is 150 times more contaminated with blood, pus, and feces than fresh milk. Videos the CDC won't show you. And what he says is that the CDC won't dare reveal to the public the horrifying truth. Pasteurized dairy is produced in the dirtiest milk factories imaginable, where blood, pus, E. coli, and other truly dangerous pathogens are routinely bottled into milk containers and then fed to consumers. So now
we're
drinking blood, pus, and E. coli.
Yes, it's true. It's
along
true.
With the arsenic and everything else
yes.
that we're drinking.
Yes, it's true. This is very true. In fact, I told a story numerous times on this show about a farmer that I met many, many years ago who told me a story. He's a commercial farmer. He sells his milk to traditional dairies. He's not a raw milk guy.
You told me the story about the bleach.
Yeah, and the guy just when they tested the coliform level was too high, and he said, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" And the guy said, "Go up the street to the Piggly Wiggly and get, you know, a few gallons of Clorox, pour them in, and drive around for a half hour, and then come back." And when he came back, they tested again and go, "Okay, you're under the limit." So the Clorox did the job. And
so
that went into the milk.
He actually poured the Clorox into
he had
the
to.
Milk.
He had to. He couldn't afford to throw all that milk away. His family would have starved.
So people drank that.
Sure. Sure. But what do you think pasteurization does to milk? It does the same destruction to milk that Clorox does. I mean, I know. And that's true. But here's the problem with that. The CDC wrote an article. And unfortunately, the CDC carries a lot more weight than Mike over at Health Ranger, what's the website again?
Natural News.
Yeah. I mean, I love the guy. The guy who writes great stuff, and he's exactly right. He is spot on right about all that. But the problem is that the CDC has come out and said that raw and pasteurized milk is 150% more dangerous than pasteurized milk. Or 150 times more dangerous.
And that's the same thing he said about right. pasteurization.
Right. And I have invited Dr. Robert, I don't know how you pronounce his name, Taux, T-A-U-X-E. He is the fella in charge of foodborne illness for the CDC. I've invited him to come on the show because I want to understand how they extrapolated this data. And I've already received an email back from their senior media person saying, what will the show be about and can you send us a list of the questions? And I'm going to send a list of the questions. They're going to be the actual questions I want to ask him because I'm interested in finding out I'm not going to challenge him and say, see, most people want to say to him, well, pasteurized milk, you know what I mean? Well, people die from eating cantaloupes. See, those are non sequiturs. I want to understand how he came up with these numbers compared to pasteurized milk. I want to see how he came up with these numbers because I have a funny feeling that when you look at the way he came up with the numbers, you're going to scratch your head and go, oh, wait a minute. This really isn't accurate at all because most of these types of analysis that are already slanted in the beginning, have those signs. So,
he also posted a YouTube video that shows that dairy cows are routinely abused and left to suffer in total filth.
Right.
So what he says was, when you buy pasteurized milk at the grocery store, you're supporting an industry that tortures cows and produces a dirty, filthy product. And that is just...
And that is the truth.
Horrifying to me.
That is not only the truth, but one of the things that he neglects to say that dairy commercial dairy cows usually live about 7 years, 5 to 7 years at best.
It's because they're overworked?
Yeah. A cow raised on pasture will last 13, 14, 15 years sometimes. So dairy cows fed a natural diet and allowed to live a natural life live 2 to 3 times longer than those poor little bastards that they have in these commercial dairies.
Says they're pumped full of bovine growth hormones, masses of antibiotics, GMOs such as corn and soy, and heavily contaminated chemical pesticides.
Yes.
And that's what we're drinking in pasteurized milk.
That's right. That's right. And that's why people have reactions to pasteurized milk a lot of times, that they don't have to milk from grass-fed cows. The lectins and the saponins that the animal absorbs from the unnatural feeds, the drugs. I mean, we already know the problems with the large amounts of antibiotics that we consume through the food chain. I mean, even the FDA has come out and said, you know, this is really a problem. You know, the food guys have, I mean, the animal guys have to stop this subclinical doses of antibiotics because their animals are sick constantly and they just want to keep them alive a little bit longer. Let's face it. If you don't give, I mean, the farmer that I work with, he doesn't give his cows antibiotics. They're not getting sick. Why is that? Why do they have to keep these animals on low-grade antibiotics their entire lives in these other settings? Why? What's wrong with that? I mean, what's wrong with that setting?
Because it's so filthy dirty.
Sure. And these cows, their bodies are abused and worn out. Their immune systems are trashed. Their udders are bleeding. There's pus. They are producing.
And the pus goes into the milk.
Yes. Because one of the reasons they give them the antibiotics is to reduce the occurrence of mastitis. All these cows have mastitis in commercial dairies. All of them. Their milk is, and pus is, and blood is coming out of the udder and going right in the milk. You can't see it because it's so such small amounts across the gallons of milk that they produce.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in there. Absolutely. And then, of course, you have one farmer who has a bunch of people get sick, and it's nothing near the number of illnesses that happened in several states over the past two decades from pasteurized milk.
But you don't hear about that in the news.
No, because the people who support the milk industry and the milk, you know, the lobbyists and so on, they suppress that information. They can't let that get out.
Yes.
We have to take a commercial break.
Okay.
And then when we come back, we've already covered milk.
I want to talk about the myth of the 8-hour sleep.
Oh, yeah, because he's going to be on Monday.
He's coming on Monday, yes.
Yeah. Right. Stay tuned. You're listening to Casual Friday on Supreme Radio. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Phytogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murapuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your miracle noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Lisa's dancing in her seat. You like that song? That's the Fine Young Cannibals. Remember them? And James Brown.
I do.
Welcome back.
So you have a historian going to be on the show Monday.
Yes, yes. Because you know what? And I've talked about this before. I mean, we can't just look at science in a vacuum any longer. We have to look and compare what we know to be true to what we think to be true. And science talks about what they think to be true. Science is always challenged.
Yes. So. Historian Robert Eckridge of Virginia Tech.
Right.
His book is At Day's Close Night in Times Past.
Right. At Day's Close is all about how people slept before industrialization, before modernization, when we were still living in our natural environment.
Says that he unearths more than 500 references to a segmented sleeping pattern, which is what I was talking about earlier, in diaries, court records, medical books, and literature from Homer's Odyssey to an anthropological account of modern tribes in Nigeria.
Right, right.
So people would sleep for 4 hours, and then they would be awake for a couple hours.
Right, which is something I actually postulated because I said it on this show years and years ago. In fact, I said it when I first interviewed she's not a doctor. I always want to call her T.S. Wiley, about her book Lights Out, which talks about sleep and circadian rhythm and insulin resistance and all that sort of stuff. And I said, you know, when we lived in caves, once it got dark out, it was too dangerous for us to roam around because, remember, we were prey. We weren't predators back then. And so you went in the cave and you laid there. Now, maybe you had fire and maybe you didn't. Chances are we didn't have fire yet. And if you're laying in that cave and it gets dark, there's not a whole lot to do. I mean, you lay there, you fall asleep, you probably wake up and think for a while, and you fall asleep again. And you probably do this 2 or 3 times before the sun starts coming up and you can get up and go out again.
Mm-hmm.
When you fast forward to modernization, the introduction of the electric light, and also the 8-hour work day, which
yes.
changed everything. It changed the way we ate. It changed the way we slept. It changed everything. Then it was like, okay, you have an 8-hour work day. There's no siestas here. There's no naps in the afternoon. You have to work for 8 hours. When you get home, you have to eat and spend time with your family. Sleeping is for the core portion of nighttime now.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole notion of, oh, we have to sleep for 8 hours continuously arose. So I'm really excited to talk to him.
It says that the references, the 500 references that I talked about a few minutes ago, described a first sleep which began about 2 hours after dusk, followed by the waking period of 1 to 2 hours, and then a second sleep. And during that 1 to 2 hour period, people were quite active. They would get up, they'd go to the toilet, they'd smoke tobacco, they visited neighbors. Most people, though, they stayed in bed, they read, they wrote, and they prayed. It says countless prayer meetings.
Wait. You missed something. They had sex, too.
Well, I was getting to that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Countless prayer manuals from the late 15th century offered special prayers. And then it said people often chatted to bedfellows or had sex.
Yeah.
And it was said from a 16th century doctor's manual from France that he advised couples that the best time to conceive that was not at the end of a long day's labor, but after the first sleep so that they could have more enjoyment doing it.
Wow, that is so
cool. Isn't that something from a 16th century doctor?
Well, now think about this. If you didn't have to get up in the morning and go to work or go to school, if you didn't have to get up first thing in the morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you went to sleep at dusk, you wouldn't be worried about waking up for an hour or two in the middle of the night and then going back to sleep and then waking up when your body wanted to wake up.
Right.
But again, it's the industrialization of the population that changed all of that. Oh, no, you got to be up in the morning. You got to be out the door.
Well, and like you said this morning, it's just like the idea of having three meals a day. You said, you know, you have a meal before work, you have a meal at work, and then you have a meal when you come home
right,
from
because
work.
Your employer didn't want to pay. People probably ate the way animals eat. We probably grazed a little bit. When we got hungry, we had a little something. But once the modernization and industrialization, your employer didn't want to pay you to take breaks. So they wanted to organize your work into four-hour clusters. You had your first meal on your own time because you were still at home.
Mm-hmm.
Your employer only was going to pay for one meal on his time. That was considered lunch.
Right.
Then you had your next meal when you got home again. So it wasn't on his time. So it was all about productivity. It had nothing to do with that's the way we should eat.
Right. And we should really be eating the 6 to 8 meals that I'm supposed to
yes.
eat a day now.
Yeah. I mean, do you see what, do lions do that in the wild?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I ate already. I'm not going to, here's a great antelope sitting here, but I ate already. I can't eat again for another 4 hours. No, a lion gets hungry, walks over, he grabs that carcass, he eats it for a little while. Once he's satisfied, he goes away. He gets hungry again, he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then we keep thinking that because of self-actualization and desire and symbolism that we are different, but we aren't. We're just animals at the base. That's it.
I'm not a lion, though.
Yeah, you are. You're actually a kitten.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, so he's going to be on at 1 o'clock.
On Monday.
Monday.
That's
going to be a
awesome.
Great show.
And I wanted to say thanks to Louis Soto. He put that on my Facebook page, that article about the myth of 8-hour sleep.
Yeah, very cool. Very
that
cool.
is. Okay, so did you read the article about the normal personality traits and emotions like grieving soon will be classified as mental illness?
Yes, and sure, because let's face it, the psychology industry, they want to make that DSM bigger and bigger. You know what I mean? The more that they can say there's an illness, the more money they make. The more money the pharmaceutical industry makes, the more money everybody makes. And the only people that lose are us, the people.
And just for people who don't know, the DSM is a statistical manual of mental disorders. DSM. There's a DSM-4 that's out now, which is published by the American Psychiatric Association, the APA. But they're coming out with a new one, the DSM-5, that should be released in May 2013.
Right.
And they're going to have a lot more symptoms of mental illness in this one.
You know, again, a sorrow occurs in all the animal kingdoms when in animals that mate for life, when one of the mates die, there's sadness, and quite often the other mate dies shortly thereafter. You know, they say of a broken heart. So this notion that you shouldn't grieve if you lose somebody, if you grieve too long, who's to say what's too long? What, some frickin' doctor? Like the doctor that's telling you, oh, no, you're good with your vitamin D levels. Well, maybe that's good for you, but not for me.
Exactly.
Maybe I need to grieve longer. Maybe, you know, it's so ridiculous.
And people grieve in different ways. People handle things in different ways.
Yeah.
It says that the manual is going to reclassify normal behaviors, like we're just talking about, bereavement of the death, spending too much time surfing the internet mental disabilities that necessitate taking psychiatric medications.
Yeah.
And we know what that's about.
Let's do a real, real quick cursory review of the history. And we talked about this about 4 years ago. The DSM was created because the psychological industry,
mm-hmm.
the psychology industry, was held in just slightly lower regard than chiropractors back in the day.
Right.
And, you know, everybody disses chiropractors in the medical industry. Real, you know, doctors think chiropractors are frauds. Chiropractors are fantastic. But back in the day, the doctors that were practicing psychology were thought to be quacks. These people are quacks, okay? So a group of them got together and went to Puerto Rico in this clandestine fashion, and they wrote the first DSM. And they said, we're going to legitimize our trade by creating a guidebook that specifically details all of the different types of mental illnesses. And every year, the book gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's just like broadening the net.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger the net gets, the more people who fall into the net, then their industry the psychotherapy industry and the psychoactive drug industry grows.
It started out with only one classification for mental illness, which was in 1840. And then just throughout the following century, it started to jump to over 100. And now there are, in the DSM-4, which is the
current one,
there's over 300 behaviors as known as mental illnesses, and that number is going to jump even higher.
Yeah.
Over 300.
Yeah. If you
And it started out with one.
If you pick your nose more than five times a day, they're going to say you have OCD. I mean, it's like, you know what? Oh, my God. And again, once again, look, these doctors can't reach out and touch you. You have to walk into one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You got to walk into one of them and go, hey, you know, I'm...
You're talking about a psychiatrist.
Yeah. I mean, they don't walk to your house and knock on your door, give you a test and go, you've got illnesses you have to take. You got to walk into one of these places and ask for their help. So just be aware that if you find yourself requiring the support of a psychologist or psychiatrist, chances are you are not going to walk out with him patting you on the back going, there's nothing wrong with you. You're fine.
You need a drug.
Yeah, you need drugs.
Well, I was doing cardio the other day, so I was at the gym doing cardio, and I didn't get to write it down. But there was a show, I don't even know what show it was, but they were talking about over in the UK that instead of prescribing the drugs, they're going to now have these people who are the patients go through talk therapy, and also they're going to prescribe them an exercise program.
That is wonderful. That's what they need to do here.
Instead of prescribing drugs.
Yeah. Look, there's a whole schwack of studies out there that show that exercise is more effective than antidepressants in treating major depressive disorders. It's already known.
Mm-hmm.
But doctors never say, look, before I put you on this, why don't you go out and hire a personal trainer? Because insurance companies won't cover it, and people won't pay it. They'll go, no, just give me the $5, deductible drug. I'll just take that.
I wouldn't do that.
No. Well, again, and again, more and more people are getting wise now. It's not everybody anymore. I mean, mm-hmm. more and more people, like the guy who turned down Lipitor and just cut bread out of his diet, and, you know, the Mr. X's maintenance guy. So it clearly, there is a change occurring. There is a renaissance afoot. I believe. I want to believe. I really, really do.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so that's it. Stay away from the DSM-5 if you're smart. You'll probably find out that you have mental illnesses. Living without knowing that is bliss. One other thing I wanted to cover, and then we're actually...
I had another story I wanted
to talk
about. Oh,
okay. Well, go to your story first.
You were just in Phoenix, and you said that your niece, she's... making all of her baby food by scratch, right?
Oh, she is so dynamite. Yeah, she makes everything from scratch. They have a food processor. They buy organic stuff. They buy grass-fed stuff. And they cook it. They puree it. They bottle it. And they freeze it. So you don't have to worry about, you know, it going bad to preservatives. And then they just thaw it out when they need it. It's great.
Well, I read an article now that says infant formula has been found to have arsenic in it. Is there arsenic in everything?
Yes. And in fact, it's funny you should say that. And I couldn't find it before the show, but I received a notification because arsenic is one of the words that I watch for now, that the companies that supply elemental arsenic, the synthetic arsenic,
mm-hmm.
they're running dangerously low because there's so much arsenic being used by so many different industries, from the electronic industry to the animal husband industry.
Well, this article says that they make it known that there's no ban or recall on baby formula, but that Dartmouth College did this research. And evidently, they're advising parents who are concerned with children's exposure to arsenic not to feed them formula where brown rice syrup is the main ingredient.
Even organic brown rice syrup.
Yes.
Because the bottom line is that there's high levels of arsenic. And how high are they, Elisa?
The study went on to say that organic brown rice is the concern.
Right. But didn't you also say that there was a 5.6 part per million that it rated when they did the test, and that's well above the federal government's guidelines for that particular category of food?
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the FDA, their response will be, well,
just in low levels.
No. Let it, we're just going to let it wash through. We'll just let that arsenic wash through the baby and the baby will pee it out, and then we don't have to worry about it anymore.
Well, they ask the question, they pose the question, why organic brown rice? And the researchers said that because the rice is produced in the U.S., it's grown on land formerly used to grow cotton.
Which is one of the crudest, hardest crops to grow and destroys the earth. It destroys the earth. It takes everything valuable out of the soil. Everything.
It also says that a part of the study shows that cereal bars and high energy shots have arsenic in them.
Wow. I want to talk about the – so I after you talked about that, I did some research. Do you know in the United States, in order to be certified organic, the ground that you're growing your food on need only have not had any pesticides sprayed within 3 years of the crop's harvest, not planting it. So let's say you have a crop that's going to take 3 months to grow. Well, that at 2 years and 9 months, you can start planting that in soil that had pesticides sprayed on it 2 years and 9 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, excuse me for a second, okay?
Okay.
I'm really not clear about this. So you're going to call that organic? Do you think that the residuals of that crop, of that the pesticide use in 2 years to 3 years is gone from the earth?
No.
I mean, this is BS.
Yeah.
I'm shocked by this. I thought it was like, remember what I said? I think that it's like 20 years.
I thought 10 years.
Yeah, it's like 2.5 years before you plant something on it and call it organic. So who cares? Who cares if it's organic? Now you got to find out, well, when was the last time the ground that it grew in was sprayed? If it was 2.5 years ago, I think I'll pass on that. And here's living proof of it. These babies are ingesting arsenic in the brown rice syrup. Right.
Yeah.
Right. But of course.
Why do they put brown rice syrup in infant formula anyway?
Because that naturally comes out of mother's breasts when they breastfeed. You know that, don't you?
No.
That's one of the components of mother's milk. Brown rice syrup, zinc aspartate.
Neotane.
Neotane. red dye number 5.
It's not funny.
Although, you know, me being Italian, my mom was, hers was brown dye number 4.
Oh, was it?
Because we're darker skinned.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, the only other thing that I wanted to talk about, and then we're going to pull the plug on this show today, is that just real briefly, we're not going to go into it deeply, but people need to be aware of this. We always talk about anti-aging, things you can do to extend your telomeres and take your astragalus root or your TA65 or whatever telomere activator you're taking. Well, one of the things that you need to do to keep your telomeres from getting shorter is what, Elisa Profumo?
Reduce stress.
Yes. Recent research that was looking at depression and genetic effects of stress discovered that people with more stress in their lives, regardless of whether they had depression or not, had much shorter telomeres.
Also, people with depression. Did you say that?
Yeah. Well, okay. I said people with a lot of stress in their lives, regardless of whether they had depression or not. Because what they discovered was people that are depressed have stress and telomere length. But they said, but independently, people that have more stress in their lives, whether they did present depression or not, had shorter telomeres. So if you have a concern about your telomeres and you're taking a telomere activator, then boost your chances of not just stopping them from getting shorter, but to grow by reducing the stress in your life somehow.
You know, don't you think that some people handle stress differently than others?
Yeah. I tend to handle stress pretty well, believe it or not. And I know that you probably would say, yeah, right. But with the amount of stress that I have, but I really have the ability to compartmentalize and put things out of my head and just not think about them.
Do you?
Yeah. While I don't necessarily say I'll do that tomorrow. What did Scarlett say in the Gone with the Wind movie?
Scarlett would say, I'll worry about that tomorrow.
Yeah. While I don't say I'll worry about that tomorrow vocally, I have the ability to just not worry about things at that moment and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, and my father used to say to me, he used to call me Capofrisca, which means cold head, but really what it translates to loosely is clear head.
Calm head.
No, clear head.
Oh, okay.
Like in other words, somebody who's kapafrishke, like the world is falling down around them and they're smiling and looking up at the sky, like they're oblivious to everything that's going on.
Like they're on antipsychotic drugs.
There you go. But the ones that work. Yeah, there you go. Do we have anything else to talk about? Lovely and talented Elisa Profumo.
Only that next Friday is we're going to the Arnold. Yay.
So we won't have a casual Friday next week.
No.
We're going to have a driving Friday next week. We're going to be driving to the Arnold, and hopefully we'll see some of you there. We've been thinking and talking about going to the after party, but going early. For those of you who are interested in running into us at the after party, we'll be there very early. I think Jason said the doors open at 9:30. We'll be in there from 9:30 to 10. And then we'll be back at our room, shortening our telomeres by getting to bed early. But we'll definitely be on the floor of the exhibit and walking around. And
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to going.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I like the Arnold. I like because you get to see a lot of great people that you don't see all year long.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see them all in just 2 days. So it's ideal. Anyway, thank you for listening to Superhuman Radio today and this week. And we have great shows planned for next week. So tune in.
Bye.